Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
A little bit of a later evening tonight, 8:30, will be the puck drop in San Jose. The Sharks hosting the Calgary Flames. Calgary on the wrong end of a 3-2 decision last night in Anaheim. The run continues. 19 straight defeats for the Flames at the Pond in Anaheim. And for a little further perspective, it's time for Wills in the Morning.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Check out Varsity's all-out clear-out event on now or go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Well, we talked about it yesterday morning, that it would be nice if the Flames could win in general, but if for nothing else, we could stop this stupid 0-13-5, 0-14-5, this whole losing story.
8 years, 9 years, 10 years.
Yeah, they laid it out last night. It's now the fifth longest streak of its kind. But I have to feel like, Derek, this was not like some of them that we've seen. This was not a dominant Kings team. It was, again, a Flames team that, you know, soft goal and maybe a bounce the other way could have come away with it here.
Was that music off the Rocky soundtrack?
That's Cool in the Gang. It is our artist of the day.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm pretty sure they used that in the Rocky
Yeah.
movie.
Certainly a cocktail lounge music, Derek. You could certainly order a Manhattan to this, couldn't you?
Could I get a vodka beep?
Vodka beep.
Yeah, anyways, back to last night's game. Yeah, I mean, they were in it from start to finish. The first goal was tough. It was a centering pass off Chris Russell's skate and into the net. Tough way to start in a building where you have lost 18 in a row. Nobody's fault. Bad bounce, bad goal, bad luck. And they've had a lot of that, it seems, at Honda Center over the years. And the second goal, you know, you can live with that one. They're down 2-0. Looks like they're going to go to the dressing room, down 2-0 through two periods of play. That third goal, didn't like it at all. I mean, missed assignments coming out of the corner. And then I think it's safe to say Jonas Hiller probably should have made that save, but the puck probably should have never got to the net in the first place. So it was a tough goal to give up late in the second period. Thought that was certainly going to be the backbreaker, but we know better than to count these Flames out, and they battled back, and they almost did it again, you guys. I mean, they're 3-2. Before they made it 3-2, they had an opportunity to make it 3-2. Johnny Gaudreau scored a goal. It got waved off after they took a look at the video review and decided that he kicked it in, and then after they made it 3-2, they had some opportunities to tie it. Sean Monahan had a glorious chance and got absolutely robbed by Frederick Anderson. And then TJ Brody, who scored a goal last night, almost scored a second, put one off the goalpost. So it was close, and they gave it a good go. And the one thing that you love about this team is that regardless of the situation, they will not give up on a game. And they almost pulled off another miraculous comeback last night. But a tough loss for the guys with the way they played in the third period.
Boy, and Berchi had that great opportunity in tight. Maybe it took a little bit too much time, but what a goal that would have been for the team. What a thing, you know, what a motivator it would have been for him as well. Really too bad on both fronts.
You're right, and I actually thought Sven Berchi played a really good game last night. He worked extremely hard, and that's all you can ask from Sven Berchi. And I think if he continues to work hard, that the goals and the assist will come. And I think that's what he needs to feel confident and to play his best hockey. But, you know, Berchi is a guy who went out there and battled last night and had a good scoring opportunity and brought a lot of life to the team. And they're going to need more of that tonight against the Sharks. This is a team that has lost three in a row, the last two in shootouts and at home. So they're going to be, I'm sure, playing a desperate brand of hockey tonight. And for the Flames, they're going to try to keep that streak of not losing back-to-back games in regulation time this season alive. 8-0-1 coming off a loss this season. And I know that they didn't feel good about last night's loss. They weren't happy with some of the goals that were scored. They weren't happy with the fact that they weren't able to generate more chances, despite the fact that they had way more shots last night. When you look back at the game a week ago between the two teams, the Ducks held the Flames to 7 shots in the first two periods. Last night they had 26 in the first two periods, but not a lot of quality scoring opportunities. So I know that's going to be stressed when the guys get together for the meeting this morning. Bob Hartley wants to see shots, but he wants to see more traffic and more good scoring opportunities, second opportunities, that sort of thing. So definitely something that will be stressed before tonight's game.
Derek Wills, our guest on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Lube City Express oil change featuring Mobile One. Warranty approved, a change for the better.
What do we know on David Jones? There was some thought that he might be ready for tonight's game when I tuned into the broadcast last night.
Yes, I think that he is ready for tonight's game, and my gut tells me he will play in tonight's game against the Sharks. And, you know, he's the type of guy you need. He's big. He can skate. He certainly has skill, and he's been playing really well this season. It's too bad that he's been bitten by the injury bug as often as he has, because this is as good as I've seen David Jones play for the Flames. So hopefully he can stay healthy this time around. And if he is going to play tonight, that means they have to take him off injured reserve, and that means something has to happen to open up a roster spot. And we've all been kind of wondering, okay, when these guys who are on injured reserve start coming off injured reserve, who is going to be moved out? And I don't know for sure, but I have a funny feeling it's not going to be a young guy. So we'll have to wait and see if Jones is taken off IR today, and if he is, who is sent down to open up a spot for him.
So reading between the lines, this might be Devin Setoguchi's time.
It might be.
Well, and we talked about it yesterday. There's 5 injured guys, and you are still barely getting into the lineup. The shots, never mind points, the shots aren't coming. He's just, it hasn't worked. And that there was no fault on the Flames for trying. It was a one-year deal. The money was manageable, and for Setoguchi, of course, you're going to take a one-way deal. But it's just time. It's time to cut bait.
It was a calculated risk, and I think it was worth risking for Brad Treliving. And who knows, guys? It might still work out. And I don't know for sure that he's going down. But if he does go down, I think it's the best thing for him, because he clearly is lacking confidence right now. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. To feel good about themselves, scorers need to score. He doesn't have a point yet this season. So you know he doesn't feel good about the way things have gone. He has played a handful of good games and hasn't produced anything. And sometimes that can be frustrating. If you look at it from a team perspective, if you do everything the coaches ask you to do and you still lose, it's a little bit tougher to come to the rink and to do it all over again. But, you know, the Flames this season, they've done what the coaches have asked them to, and they've been rewarded for their hard work. And, you know, when you put in hard work, you deserve to get rewarded, and the Flames have as a team. But Setoguchi, in the games where he has played well, hasn't been rewarded for his hard work. So if he were to go down and play for the Adirondack Flames, I think it would be a great opportunity for him to get some more ice time, to play at a little lower level of competition where, you know, he can probably find his confidence by scoring some goals and adding some assists. And who knows? Maybe his days with the Flames aren't over if he is sent down to Adirondack at some point in time. But he's a guy who clearly needs to find his game right now, and more importantly, his confidence.
There are some disturbing trends that are starting to pop up with the Flames, and I know we've talked a little bit about them, and I know you guys have talked about them on the broadcast. We'll start with, I guess, the goaltending. For a good stretch of time, the first 10, 12 games of the season, it was remarkable. The goaltending was out of this world, no bad goals, saves that were made that probably shouldn't have been made. But now we're starting to see some soft goals go in, and go in on both guys. And this team, with the way they've been playing, obviously coming right down to the wire, you don't have that the affordability, you just cannot be allowing soft goals to go in at any time.
You're right. And if you allow one soft goal every so often, that's probably not the biggest deal. I mean, goaltenders are human beings too, and they're going to make mistakes, and you have to live with them. God knows that Jonas Hiller and Kari Rahmo have bailed the Flames out enough times this season that, you know, they, I guess, deserve to be allowed to let in a soft goal once in a while. But you're right, it has become somewhat of an alarming trend. And when you look at last night's game, that third goal against quite frankly, the puck should have never got to the goaltender in the first place. But when it did, Jonas Hiller should have made a save. And that's one you really do need from your goaltender, especially late in a period. But, you know, these guys, for the most part, have given the Flames a chance to win. And that was the subject of my road comment last night, or at least part of the subject of it, basically saying that, you know, even though the goaltenders aren't at the top of their games right now, I do feel like they're getting back to where they were earlier in the season. And Bob Hartley, when I asked him about the competition for the number one job yesterday morning, told me that it is indeed still a competition, that he doesn't plan to name a number one goaltender, that he wants these two guys competing for the net. He feels like that's the best way to keep both of them really engaged and with what this team is doing. And he is confident that both guys can help his team win hockey games. So he doesn't want Kari Rommel thinking that Jonas Hiller's the guy, and he doesn't want Hiller thinking Rommel's the guy. He wants both guys believing that when they play, that they have an opportunity to win and potentially take the ball and run with it. And with a lot of back-to-back games coming up between now and Christmas, this is a time when he needs both goaltenders playing well. We saw Hiller last night. We'll see Rommel versus the Sharks tonight. And this is Rommel's chance to put two pretty good games together in a row here, and really three if you go back, three starts for him. So for Rommel, I know he hasn't had as much playing time as he'd like of late, but this is his chance to get some time, playing time, and we'll see if he can take advantage of that opportunity.
Just a thought on Chris Russell, the scrap last night. We know he's been battling through some injuries. He's missed time to injury, and just, you know, what it's going to take to keep this guy out of the lineup. He's an absolute warrior.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't see that one coming last night.
It's a weird one, wasn't it?
I mean, it was surprising to see, Chris Russell drop the gloves, but hey, you give him credit. He is not going to back down from anybody, even a guy who's quite a bit bigger than him, like Ryan Kessler, but that certainly shocked Peter Laborteus and I. But he's a guy who, when usually Peter Laborteus will quiz me after the game, who would you have picked as the hardest working Flame? So, you know, as we're sitting on the bus on the way to the airport, I went through the entire roster and I gave him two numbers. I said, 4 or 5. He said, yeah, those were my two numbers as well. He went with Mark Giordano, not Chris Russell, but Chris Russell was right at the top of both of our lists. And, you know, just a guy who continues to do so many things for the Flames. Hasn't scored a goal yet. That's the only thing he probably hasn't done this season, but he set a bunch of them up and he makes such a difference getting the puck out of the defensive zone, whether he skates it out or makes a good first pass out, just a huge part of this team and probably still underrated. We know that he's one of the top four defensemen on the team. We know what an important player he is, but it's like they're a different team when they don't have him. He makes Dennis Wideman a better player. There's no doubt about that. He gives them a terrific top two defense pairings, and he's just been so important for these guys. And I'm not sure he's 100% right now, but he'd never tell you that, and he doesn't play like it either.
We'll be ready for tonight, 8:30. Tough on us morning, guys, but we'll get through it somehow, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning.
Unless we sleep in.
Yeah, I feel your pain because we got in about 2 o'clock in the morning because of the curfew at the airport in San Jose. We actually had to fly into Oakland and then bus from Oakland to San Jose, so I'm on only a few hours of sleep here, guys, so I'm going back to bed before the morning skate.
All right, sweet dreams.
Oh, thank you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
You bet.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The all-out clear-out event continues with a 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
17 minutes after 8 o'clock, we have tonight the Calgary Hitmen taking on the PA Raiders, 7 o'clock over at the Dome. Should be a good one. Is Josh Morrissey still playing for the PA Raiders? I believe he is. Is he not?
I think so. The Jets prospect.
Is Leon Draisaitl still playing for the PA Raiders?
I think he's still playing for a team about the same skill level, but he's actually in the NHL.
That's harsh.
Edmonton Oilers.
So again, tonight at the Dome, Raiders and the Calgary Hitmen, a 7 o'clock start. We also, when we come back, a little thing we like to call clean it up, because you look around and there's some areas where people just need to figure some things out. And we figured who better than us to lend a helping hand?
We're givers.
We very few faults.
That's right.
So we figured we'd help guide the way
from our perches from above.
That's right.
We'll throw some advice.
We'll clean it up next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960.
960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Wednesday morning, 8:25.
Hello there.
Boomer in the morning, no Warner. He's not slept in. He's gone to Buffalo. That's right. Going to Buffalo.
He's got to stop in and see Razor at the old Razor's Dog Pound Hut thing.
Yeah, was it Razor's Dog Pound?
Dog Shack?
Dog House?
Hut?
Dog House. That's what it was. I don't know that... I'm still trying to... Because I don't really know Rob that well. I know the other guy too well, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm still trying to get a handle on their relationship.
Happy New Year, Robert.
Hey, Happy New Year to you too, Rhett.
It's playful.
There's some friendship, but there's also kind of a bit of FU in there.
There really is.
Yeah. Like, remember when he compared the Warner family reunion? Like, wasn't really.
Yeah, he's...
I was up north moose hunting, and it was kind of rained for 3-4 days, so it was kind of a long, old, dragged-out days. All of my buddies were drinking and being idiots, and it was kind of like the Warner family reunion.
Right. So I wonder, I bet you he doesn't even go and say hi to old Razor.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't either. Which is too bad. Because, I mean, two good guys.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that could bridge the two, it would be food.
No, it wasn't...
I don't give a shit.
When Ray was in town, didn't he have to drive Rhett home in his truck?
Yeah.
Because Warner got all bombed up with the staff of the Sabres.
He got a little banged up. I forget what it was.
Robert doesn't drink, so he took care of old
That's
Retro.
Right.
Hey, Rob Ray, color analyst with the Sabres, joins us. Your buddy no-showed this morning.
Well, this is just typical of Rhett Warner. He's very irresponsible, and you think most people mature when they get older, but obviously Rhett is. I drove home. I don't know what time it was because, I got to have a truck. I got to have my truck. I'm like, take a cab. Oh, I need my truck. So I had to get a cab, follow him to his house, dropped him off, put him in the chair in front of his door, pushed the button, got in the cab, and I came back to the hotel. So I don't really know where he is. Maybe he's still sitting on his front step.
Push the button. That's
awesome. Yeah. See, now that would suggest that there is a friendship there.
Well, he's just doing the right thing.
That's something friends do for friends.
Rob's doing the right thing there.
Yeah.
It's God's work.
Last night, the Calgary Flames, 3-2. They fall at the hands of the Anaheim Ducks. Yes, 0-14-5 in their last 19 games. We take a look back with the game in a minute.
Welcome back to the Plygem broadcast booth here at Honda Center in Anaheim, California. Site for Game 1 of the Flames' 3-game road trip versus the Ducks. He'll knock it in behind the Flames net again. It's centered in front, and they score! From the far corner, Matt Beleski. Throwing towards the net by Beauchemin. Bouncing puck, and they score! Jonas Hiller stopped the first shot, couldn't control the rebound. Palmieri will dump it in and give chase. It's hit by Englund behind the Flames net. Palmieri wins the battle, shoots and scores! Monahan drops, Brody winds, fires and scores! T.J. Brody leans into a shot and blows it right by Frederik Andersen. Now Brody, far side, Giordano shoots, and he scores! Mark Giordano hammers the puck to the Ducks' net. It may have been tipped in front, and with 25.4 seconds left, the Flames are back to within one. Getzlaf will grab the puck, and the find-a-way Flames can't come from behind tonight. Ducks put the puck in the net, but I believe after the buzzer. And the final score here at Honda Center tonight, the Ducks 3, the Flames 2. But boy, did the Flames make it interesting.
There it is. That's your game in a minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC, home of the $400 GMC Sierra Crew Cab 4x4. Zero down, you pick the term. Visit Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Tonight, San Jose. The Sharks, another tough test, back-to-back, little travel, and you heard from Derek during the segment there. They've got this curfew in San Jose. You can't fly in after a certain time.
The airport's close to a residential part of town. They don't want noise. We're trying to sleep, you jerks, so
you fly to Oakland.
Oy.
Because they don't care about who sleeps in Oakland.
No.
Then they got to take that bus and get in, and it's late, and...
I don't even know that the Oakland airport's any closer than the San Francisco one. I mean, that's miserable.
I'm not all that familiar, to be quite honest.
With the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Never been?
I've been to San Jose and San Francisco.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly
how the airports
relate to
I gotcha.
San Jose.
Not fun, though.
I would think the airport in San Jose closer to San Jose than either the one in Oakland or San Francisco.
I get that feel as well.
Mm. Why don't we do this? Again, this show is brimming always.
Brimming.
With positivity and glass half full-like perspective. But every once in a while, you just gotta give it to a guy. So it's time to clean it up.
Time now for Hey, Clean It Up with Boomer and Warner in the morning.
So what we do is, you know, because there's some things. I'll start and I'll amend it because I believe it's changed. But when I saw it this morning, I was blood red mad. Calgary Stampeders on their way to the Grey Cup. It's the showcase game of the Canadian Football League. What do we love about the Grey Cup? Everybody comes. Teams, they have the you know, Ryderville, and there's the Atlantic Schooners. Not even a team. They go to the Grey Cup every year. It's fun. It's Canadiana. It's all about what's good for the game and being around good people.
A part of our heritage.
And what do the Calgary Stampeders have at every home game when they score a touchdown? Quick six, the horse.
Yeah, the horse.
Down the sideline. Back.
Yeah.
Now, I was set to rail against the Grey Cup committee. I was ready to tell them to clean it up because they'd not given permission to the Stampeders and the lady horse driver. Did you drive a horse?
I don't think
they didn't right. give any. It didn't give the go ahead, the Shit. Thumbs up Shit. To bring the horse. Now I understand it's changed. She's not bringing that horse because you got to drive a horse. I don't think. Can you put a horse on a plane?
I think the horse is running out.
It was a great movie. Horse on a plane.
Isn't that snakes on a plane?
Well, Buffalo. Rhett flew to Buffalo, so there was a horse's ass on a plane. Anyway, my understanding is they're going to bring in another horse closer to Vancouver than
what?
Calgary. And essentially, the touchdown horse will be alive and well and running down the sidelines should the Stampeders get a touchdown.
How do you feel about that?
It has to happen. It has to happen. You can't ban mascots. Riders aren't going to ban Gainer the Gopher. We got to have Quick Six.
They finally came to their senses.
Or a reasonable facsimile. So that's, again, I'll get that out of the way. Not really clean it up because I guess they kind of did, but they probably just knew it was coming.
Bunch of jerks.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a little bone of contention with one former Vancouver Canuck, Ryan Kesler. He is a large man. He is a pain in the backside to play against. And he is a liar.
He's a liar?
I don't want a trade. Clearly, he'd ask for a trade. He gets his trade. He then tweets pictures about how nice it is to be back in the United States on a beach. And last night, he found the smallest human not named Johnny Gaudreau in the state of California and challenged him to a fight. Chris Russell, God bless you, kid. Working hard. Tough Western Canadian boy. But Ryan Kesler, how about you try fighting someone your own size? With just a reminder, 6'2", 205, not 5'9", 170. You chicken. Clean it up.
You have to do the sequence, though.
Ryan Kesler, clean it up.
You got to throw the hey in there first.
Hey, Ryan Kesler.
Well, it's like hey, then a pause.
Hey. Ryan Kesler.
That's too long of a pause.
Hey, Ryan Kesler.
Too fast.
I need a pause. To do this. Hey, Ryan Kesler.
Hey.
Hey.
Ryan Kesler.
Clean it up.
That's better. This one's easy.
Boy, that was tough.
But I did some math. This team has lost 7 straight games in the National Hockey League.
Me.
They have won 6 of the 22 games they've played. They are tied for the worst record, or at least the lowest point total in the NHL. They have yet to win a game against the Western Conference. They play in the West. 0-11-1. They've given up a league high in goals in the first period. No one gets down like the Oilers do in the first period. They've had out of their 22 games, they've led going into the first intermission once. They are dreadful. They're the Edmonton Oilers. Hey, Edmonton Oilers, clean it up.
All right, I'm going to turn our attention to a former friend of the show and a guy that did make Calgary home for a while. Remember last year at the trade deadline when we heard Rito Barrow was traded for a seventh rounder and we thought, yeah, that's some pretty good value. And then the person, no. A second rounder, not a seventh rounder. Well, with Semyon Varlamov injured and the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Central Division, arguably the toughest division in hockey last year, if he's out, you need your backup to play well. And in his last six starts, Retro Biro has not allowed fewer than three goals in any of them. Twice, he's allowed four, and twice, he's got the hook. You're going to have to be a little better to keep your job in the NHL, son. Never mind to justify that second-round pick Patty Roy and the boys sent to Calgary for you. Hey, Rito Barra, clean it up.
See, that's better.
That was the pause the right
that was the pauses were in the right spot.
Did I start yelling like Don Cherry?
No, it was good. Okay. Well, yeah, you did do that, but it's fine, I guess.
Okay.
I have a last one.
Really?
And it's to a Marshawn Lynch.
Whoa.
Of the Seattle Seahawks. 2 weeks ago, did not speak with the media post-game. Didn't do it. Got fined by the NFL. That's going to happen. Part of having an NFL contract and making stupid amounts of money is that you will do media interviews. And now keep in mind, it's not about this coming from a media member. This is the conduit to the fans. This is how the fans get their coverage of their favorite team. Marshawn Lynch gets fined. This past week, he did interviews, but did nothing but spout out one-word answers. Yeah.
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 The effort of the aggressively.
Yeah.
How does that defense compare to others that you've seen this year?
Yeah.
Marshawn, you were on the sidelines for a little bit there. What was going on? Was the back all right? Obviously, you got back in there.
Yeah.
Hey! Marshawn Lynch!
Yeah.
Clean it up!
That was Hey, Clean It Up with Boomer and Warner in the morning.
Yeah. Text line suggesting some clean it ups as well, which is very nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Worst segment ever. Hey, Boomer, clean it up.
That's inaccurate. this is the best segment ever. You just wait. It's going to grow on you.
Airlines gouging flights to Vancouver. Clean it up.
Yeah. I don't know why you say clean it up to all the things that make me happy. Yeah, I know. I know. It's 8:37. More on last night's game. We'll go around the NHL. NHL rumor mill chugging between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Edmonton Oilers. And what about these Sharks tonight? We'll get into it a little bit. Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, still there. However, you take a really quick look. And I'll be very, like I say, I'm curious to see what this Sharks team is about. Because if on paper alone, you look and you were asked, how is San Jose doing this year? They've won 10 of 23 games. And I think it's safe to say you'd expect the Sharks to have a better win-loss record than that. 838, Sports at 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
I am so ready for December 10th.
Oh, man.
I'm feeling good, man. I got to get in contact with my brewmaster today. Going to send him a text.
Old Brew Dog.
No, that's Warner's. I've got a professional.
Well, so does Warner.
Well.
He just calls him Brew Dog.
Not if you'd have seen what I saw.
Really?
Stuff spraying all over the place, just dumping things on the floor. I don't know.
Come on.
My guy, I'm far more professional. What we're talking about, of course, is Wild Rose Brewery, which has quickly become a big one here in the city of Calgary and across the province. They invited Retro and I to make our own beer. Essentially, which is a little misleading.
Sounds scary.
Electric Avenue is their straight-up lager, So if when you're going, if you're one of those guys, you don't like the IPAs and the dark stuff, you just, I just want a beer. Electric Avenue.
Hockey game beer.
That's your beer. We are taking a cask, which is like a keg, but we're taking a cask of it each, and then altering the taste. We're putting an additional flavor to it.
Adding some ingredients.
That's right. He did his, I did mine. It is right now. It's sitting. It's all...
fermented?
Getting nice.
All right.
And it won't be close. We're going to have a tasting party on the 10th of December. We'll fire out some invites. We got to get more people. We'll get some people in there. Already, Wild Rose are going to have us out. There's going to be some food, obviously some drinking. And then we're going to award who had the best beer.
It's going to be a great day to show up in a cab, by the way, for you gents that have won prize.
Already asked for the 11th off.
And a boy.
No.
Don't think that's going to happen. Yeah.
So, Wild Rose, can't wait. Can't wait. There's like, we got a lot of stuff. We're going to be at Tuxedo Source for Sports on Friday.
Black Friday. That's always a big day.
Then
Grey Cup all weekend.
Grey Cup. Again, if be listening this weekend for sure, because we have got plenty of football coverage. Kerr on Friday with Football Fridays as per usual. Saturday, Steinberg and Humphreys are going to be in Vancouver. Traveling Friday, they're going to be doing a show from 3 till 6 p.m. from our Vancouver studios. And then you and Kerr are doing the Grey Cup pre-show over at Shanks.
Yeah, we'll be at Shanks South, noon till 4 pregame, and then on the mic for the game itself at Shanks South. I'll be there. Will Nault, Shanks North.
Nice. We'll have guests, we'll have sound, we'll have opinion, and go Stamps, go.
Couple of guests that you might not have heard from in a while that made some hay in Stampeders Grey Cup history, and some that you... maybe you don't even like them.
Oh, it's very, very covert.
Our listeners would like them. You just, I see. You don't like them.
Flames last night, 3-2. Oh, really?
Maybe. Why not? Knows both players.
He played for about 10 minutes here.
Shh. Knows both rooms.
He was 3-2 Ducks over the Flames last night. We talked about it with Wills. You say it again. It's not. This is not groundbreaking. But the soft goals and the early deficits are just, it's going to be catastrophic. Both have to improve. At least one. You cannot do both. You cannot go down 2-0 and be allowing soft goals. It's just not going to happen. You can't blame him on the first, Hiller on the first goal, I suppose. Goes off the skate of Russell and in. That is going to happen. Perry is allowed to walk through the middle and bang in a loose puck. That's fine. But the one out of the corner, and yeah, should Palmieri have been able to dump it in, retrieve his own pass, and then take it to the net? Like, no, never, ever should you be able to do that. But he did that against Derek Englund, sadly, and then tucked it through the legs with less than a minute to go. It was everything that can't happen. Late goal, close game, soft goal by the goalie, and a bad play by the defender. This is now four straight games they have trailed by a 2-0 score and been forced to come back, whether they win it or not. They've had to play catch-up hockey. Leads have not been something that they've been accustomed to at all. They are 8-0-1 coming off losses. They are in San Jose tonight. What of the San Jose Sharks? Well, I mentioned it before the break. They've played 23 times and have 10 wins. We talked to Elliot Friedman, I guess it was Monday, and we were talking about Edmonton and the whole mess, because that was not long after the debacle against the Blackhawks, about the coach. Do they make a change? Should Dallas Eakin survive just because history has shown they've fired a lot of coaches? He mentioned if Todd McClellan becomes available, that would be probably one guy that Edmonton would go after with significant interest.
Bam.
It's like, well, why would... Now, San Jose, they kind of... They've hitched their wagon to this guy for a long time. Playoff disappointments, all of that. He's managed to survive all of that. And then you look and say, well, okay. 10 wins, 24 points. Only, not that far out of a wild card spot. But still, not... They're in that area where that's not good enough for the San Jose Sharks and Doug Wilson, I would think this has got to be a year where you get to the West Final, or it's just been another one of those years where you haven't achieved what you'd hoped.
And here's the thing. They started the season 4-0-1.
Wow.
So on Saturday, October 18th, they had earned 9 of a possible 10 points out of the gate. Since then, it's been an absolute disaster in terms of they lose 4 in a row after that. You know, they've lost to some bad teams. Here's how bad it's gone for them of late. They got swept in the season series by Buffalo.
Yeah.
In regulation in each. They got 0 out of 4 points against the Buffalo Sabres. They lost to Florida. Columbus beat them. Things are not going as they should, and they're coming off back-to-back shootout losses to Florida and Arizona. So there you are. They got 1 out of 4 points against Florida in the whole season series.
Their power play is 4th in the National Hockey League.
As it should be.
So that's good. As far as goaltending, you know, you take a look and see where you're at, I suppose. But you would think Antti Niemi should give you a chance on most nights to win. Now, he did win a cup on a very good Chicago Blackhawk team, but he's still, I would think, a strong goaltender. His numbers, 7-6-3 with a 2.58 goals against and a .915 save percentage. So the goals against and save percentage seem all right, but 7-6-3, you would think you'd be better than that with that kind of a record. Joe Thornton is leading the team in scoring with 20 points in 23 games. Then it's Pavelski, Couture. Brent Burns has been terrific. They moved him back to the blue line now.
Yep.
And he has 19 points in 23 games. I don't know where it falls off. I know they put Adam Burrish on waivers earlier this week, trying to move some things around. But there is still something. Now, and they did make the trade. They brought in Brendan Dillon for Jason Demers earlier this week or on the weekend. Not a huge trade, but it looks like both teams are kind of addressing a need there. I still wonder how much of this is between the ears in that locker room. Just because of what we've seen here, and I've said this many times, I've never been more of a believer in chemistry, identity,
leadership,
just the cohesiveness within a locker room than obviously with what we've seen this year.
Look in Edmonton, look in Calgary.
Well, look at Calgary and then look at Calgary.
Sure.
Jerome, yeah. Jay, yeah. Whoever, right? Tangay.
Kipper.
You move those guys out. The identity changed, or at least there were other guys that were forced to step up and take on different roles. And I can't help but wonder for San Jose, you've taken the C off of Joe Thornton's chest. You've taken it off of Patrick Marleau's chest, but they're still in that room. And they're still good players. I mean, 18 points for Marleau, 20 points for Thornton. He's leading the team, like I said. But they are still in there. And I can't help but wonder for Logan Couture, for Joe Pavelski, for Tommy Wingles, whoever it might be that would be a leader in that room. If you're still kind of, you know, you aren't as brash or in control as you would be if those guys weren't there.
It's interesting because I would love to have a Joe Thornton or a Patrick Marleau on my hockey team any day of the week, right? And yet, it feels like their best before date in San Jose has passed them. I think they could still be fantastic pieces that help you win a cup in a lot of different places, but there's just so much history there in the sense that of all these years, they've been fantastic in the regular season. They haven't won in the postseason. There is an appetite to move these guys, mm-hmm. and you just can't because they're both in the first year of extensions that have kicked in, and they've got no moves. It's a weird spot to be in, and I tell you, you know, we're as excited as our fan base is about the Calgary Flames in this city, as they should be. I mean, this is a team that's in the playoffs every bloody year, decades straight, it seems.
We've had that conversation.
And,
what would you?
And it's like all of a sudden, you're not winning enough in the playoffs. Like, well, there's 14 teams that don't get in every year. It's nice to be part of the club, isn't it?
We've had that conversation. What would you rather have? A team that is up and down, but when the ups are up, it's really like you're super close, or you go on incredible runs. Or would you rather have a consistent, we are there every year, 40 wins plus every single season, but we can't get over the hump, maybe this is the year, you're probably going to take the latter. You're going to go with the San Jose Sharks. They are not, I don't think they're a boring team to watch. They've got skill. They score goals. And you know what? They're tough at home. I remember asking Warner, what was one of the your least favorite buildings? And he said, it's San Jose. The fans get into it, and they got that real siren going, and they're right on you. So that is the story for the San Jose Sharks, I suppose. For the Flames, you could just get back on it. You lost last night. You made it close in the third. You got to come out and just do it again. Raimo will be the starter.
Yep.
This, I would think, is the first, if not the first, but this is the real opportunity for him now, because Hiller he's not the golden boy anymore. There's been a few average performances. I mean, lucky to win that Ducks game, quite frankly. Got the win. Nice for him to get it done. Lost last night, but the
960 save percentage thing is gone,
the
right?
The sloppy ones have started to get by him a little bit. If Raimo comes in tonight and doesn't allow a softie and plays well, then I think he's kind of taken a bit of the clubhouse lead, if you will.
Interesting. I wonder what they do with the lineup tonight. And we won't know because there's no way they skate when they get into San Jose at 2 in the morning. But if David Jones returns, you'd probably throw him on the line with Monahan and Glencross. That's been your de facto number one line. With all the injuries you've had, that's sort of been the staple when those three guys have been healthy. You certainly wouldn't want to break up Granlund, Gaudreau, Hudler the way they're going. At least they all seem to complement each other. They think the game immensely well. And then you've got a lot of guys for the bottom six. Do you put Big Earn in tonight? You know, they do have John Scott in San Jose. Whether he dresses or not might affect that. Michael Ferland's played well. Does he stay in? Does Brandon Bolig stay in with Big Earn? Or do you go with sit the two big boys and let the smaller guys go? And, of course, we might need a transaction with the American Hockey League if David Jones does come back. You will need a move because your roster is going to be over capacity.
Yeah, and if it's someone with a one-way, you got to put them on waivers.
And that should have happened yesterday if it's in time for today.
Yeah.
So does Corbin Knight go back to the A? Is Setoguchi Gonzo? Is it a guy like Berchi who returns? Like today's going to be an interesting day because they're going to have to make a decision on a roster spot if Jones is ready, and it sounds like he is.
More details. We'll have a little bit of a clearer picture by the time 12 noon rolls around. Pat Steinberg, as always, with Hockey Central at noon. He'll have those details, talking with Peter Labardius from San Jose. Coming up in the next 60 minutes, we're going to talk a little bit of football and a little bit of hockey. The Edmonton Oilers are, as we have illustrated, in a bad way. Should he be given a free pass of sorts, being that, no, you can't fire the coach because that's all you've ever done is fired the coach? Or do you look at it and say, no, just because we fired a bunch doesn't mean that this is the right guy. He's maybe clearly the wrong guy. And if we fired six, then maybe we need to fire seven. His perspective on what's happening to the north and even here in our city as well. Grey Cup weekend coming up. Julio Caravada, BC Lions color analyst, former CFLer himself, and part of the Sportsnet coverage of the Canadian Football League. He'll be in about 9:20, and of course, what you want to talk about all on the way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.